Well, this is
Radio.
Right, right. I want to welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio. This is live, and we're at 980 Robert Boulevard in Slidell, Louisiana, and we hope you're listening to us live, if not later. And if you ever buy Slidell at 9:30 a.m., okay, I'm glad I'm corrected. I need 890, not 980, 890. I don't know if there is a 980. You might be a Domino's if you go to 980. Thank you, man. And so we're going to be talking about marriage today and in Genesis chapter 2. And, again, I want to encourage you all to ask questions or make comments on this subject. Is it something else? Marriage is something else. Most of us here have experienced marriage, and so we're going to see what God says about it and some other things about the marriage relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, as a matter of fact. And again, let's start with this statement on page 11. Page 11, at the bottom of it, that's what Matthew Henry says. Eve was not taken out of Adam's head to top him, neither out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be loved by him. And I think it's an excellent quote. I tell you what, let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father, we just thank you for everybody that's here, and we thank you, Lord, that we can broadcast, and we just pray for those that will be listening or will listen. We pray for, most importantly, that you take over this study of your word and bring out things that would be helpful to us to better know you and better be submissive and closer to you. And we pray for Brother Robbie. Thank you that he's doing well. I pray that he'll continue to heal and be back with us as he better than he was before. And Father, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Any comments so far? Well, let's go ahead into this. Right below Matthew Henry in this writing, in this sheet, it says, in what sense did the Lord God take one of Adam's sides? A side would include both flesh and bone. And this is important. As well as blood released from the open side, Adam could later say, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. It is significant that both bone and flesh in the human body are sustained by blood and the marvelous blood pumping and circulatory network designed by God. The blood carries the necessary oxygen and other chemicals from the air and food taken in by man to maintain all the substance and functions of the body. In fact, the very life of the flesh, literally the soul of the flesh, is in the blood. So, you know, y'all know this, that in your bones is where your white blood cells come from. And anybody that gets leukemia has problems with their white blood cells, and that's created or produced in your bones. One of the big things with people that have AIDS is that their bones in their chest, where the T cell comes from or is made, stops because of the AIDS virus. And that's what they die of. They can die from cold or anything else because there's no immune system. The white blood cells are not there to fight it. So, yeah, Sickle cell, is that right? Okay, sickle cell. Okay. So we have that, and that's what, of course, God took a bone and flesh, and he formed Eve. Now, this is something that I'd like to go into. It says in the next paragraph, these thoughts, of course, immediately remind us again of the one whose side was pierced on Calvary as he entered into the deep sleep of death, of whose body not a bone was broken, but from whose side, but one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side. Forthwith came there out blood and water. Let's look at that in John 19, 34 through 36. John 19, 34 through 36. Okay. There's the final. Y'all there? Mm-hmm. Okay. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Satan hates God's creation, and he hates man and woman so much that the last destruction of the body of Christ was the side of Jesus. And that's where God took from Adam and made Eve. And he made sure he covered everything when he destroyed or tried to destroy Jesus on the cross. He included woman in his destruction, or trying to destruct Jesus. And also that he included the side was that and I think God wanted that so that the woman would be included in redemption, and that she would, not that she wouldn't be, but there's a distinct, how much God makes a distinction between Adam and Eve, and we can see it even on the cross and in the redemption and salvation of us. I thought that was pretty good. It says, from the life of Adam, the blood sustaining his bones and his flesh, God made Eve his bride. In like manner, we would constitute the bride of Christ. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11:2. This is interesting, too. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Well, it's all interesting. Right, right. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Second Corinthians 11:2, he says there, Paul, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So I'm probably getting out of sequence here, but we are chaste virgins to Christ. Now, that chaste means pure, and that's the process in which we're being, what's happening to us today is that we are purified, or we're chaste. We're being chaste, sometimes chastised, to be that bride of Christ. And, you know, I thought about this, you know, not being a woman, I was the groom, and I don't remember everything that my wife went through when she was preparing to get married. But I know it's a lot of work. And so the excitement and everything that goes along with the marriage and the wedding. And that's what we're getting ready for. We're getting ready for this wedding, that one day we're going to be united with Christ because we are his bride. And we can see it in the marriage here on earth and how it is, let's say, done. I guess I should say it that way. Excuse me. We won't go. Look at the next verse, John 6:54-56. Whoso eateth of my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And here he is, he's saying, he's talking about the blood again, and how that the blood that was produced when he formed Eve, and also that because of his blood, we have eternal life, and that is part of, let's say, the symbolism or allegory of us now that one day we will be like Christ or married to Christ. Therefore, it says, thereby we become members of his body and his flesh and of his bones. Ephesians 5:30 says, for we are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. And again, I think of the cross and how that he gave his body, his blood, his bones for us as Adam. God took from Adam a bone and a flesh, and now we're going to be one with Christ, and it's going to be forever. And it's something that, well, I'm looking forward to. Now, let's go a little bit further in this marriage, in this relationship, and Eve and Adam. Eve was thus made from Adam's side to work alongside him in carrying out the divine commission to fill the earth and subdue it. She not only had the flesh, that is the body, and life, that is the soul, as did Adam, but she also had an eternal spirit as he did. But the spirit, or better, the image of God, was directly from God, not mediated through Adam as was her physical life. This was known in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. Male and female created he him. So the image of God, directly created by God, was given to both man and woman. So God, Eve did not get her spirit. She got a flesh and soul from Adam, but not her spirit. Her spirit directly came from God. And again, it's that intimate personal relationship that each of us have, especially, now that we're born again, especially. Okay, let's see where. Physical life, okay. So God created man in his own image, male and female. The image of God directly created by God was given both to man and woman as joined unto the Lord. However, even in this dimension of life, they would become one spirit, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we see there the intimacy personally that we have with Jesus Christ. Now, is that the end of the Okay. Where's the... Okay. I didn't think... I'm so organized, I am confused. Let's see. Now, well, I got another sheet of paper here that I didn't make copies of. Okay. Man. I'm wondering. Okay. Well, this is talking about wait a minute. Well, okay, go back to page 11. I'm trying to, I must have not printed out a sheet or something because I'm missing something that, well, anyhow, page 11, it says, right underneath there, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, 1 Timothy 2:13. Y'all see that? For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. 1 Corinthians 11:8. All other men have been born of woman, but the first woman was made from man. It is significant that the first human institution established by God was that of marriage. The long period of human infancy and helplessness requires careful protection and training of the children by their parents. In his wisdom, God ordained that the home, built on the mutual love and respect of husband and wife, should be the basic human unit of authority and instruction. Now, yeah, I'm missing, because I was studying. What we just read, it says that God made man and woman. Male and female. And then it says, I thought I had printed out that other sheet. Then it says that, well, we can go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2:23. Genesis 2:23 or 25. Any comments? 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and the wife, and were not ashamed. So what we got going on today, and I was looking at some news thing last night, and it was a menage a trois. And it wasn't even that. It was a woman that didn't know whether she was a male or female, so she was an it. And she kind of looked like a man but talked like a woman. And then she had two mates. One was called herself a female, and she was the wife. And then the other one was another it. Didn't know what she was. And so it's that's how bad things have gotten. And like it says right here that God created man and woman, and that they, it says there that the man is to leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And I say that. Our children, I can look at my daughter and see how much, you know, she looks like me. I'm kidding. She don't look at nothing like me. I don't know.
That we're not shame, so it's like they were like kids almost. And then when we get to heaven, we're supposed to be like kids again, so you won't be thinking of anybody in a special way. Like just when you put kids in the bathtub together, they don't.
Exactly. Right. There was everything was good. There was no evil. They were even better than innocent. If I can say it like that, because innocent, you know, like your children, they're innocent, but you know that they've got iniquity in them. They have the propensity to do evil, and so. They were, Adam and Eve hadn't even committed a sin yet. And so, yeah, they were not ashamed of anything they did. They were not ashamed. They didn't know they were naked. What's the big deal of being naked, you know?
You're running all out of sprinkling stuff when you're a little kid.
Right, right. Now, we'll see next chapter what happens. We all know what happens, but... yeah, the little kids grow up. But God seems to be kind of lenient, if I can say it like that, on this. Because what happened with Abraham? Abraham had a concubine, a maid, and a wife. Who was it? David, Solomon. And they were Samson. They were successful in doing God's will, and David was a man after God's own heart, but he had more than one wife, and he was even unfaithful to his wives, and went so far as to lust and kill another man to cover up his adultery. So there seems to be God was lenient, and okay, go ahead. That lights, I can't see.
Okay. No, them not being the same, naked. God, when God created them, they were in their pure natural state. So there was no reason, because it's pure, no reason for them to be the same. But when they sinned, they were no longer in their pure natural state. And that's covered.
Amen. Amen. Yep. Yeah. There was no more purity, and they were that sin came in and undid it. Yep. Amen. But and which interesting, they lost their purity. Then God lets them have these wives, multiple wives, and He even blesses some people that have multiple wives. And so you have now, in some countries, you can still, I think it's polygamy it's called. The Mormons used to practice it. I probably still do. Okay. and in some parts of the world, they have, the women have more than one husband. And, yeah, exactly.
And the 12 tribes came from Leah and her handmaid, Rachel and her handmaid.
Right, Jacob, right, exactly. And God, that was the chosen children of God. But then when you go, when Jesus comes, Jesus goes back to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and says, they were created, y'all were created, man, male and female, and that you were to cleave to one another. So some of the priests that were questioning Jesus had been married 10 times. You know, it was easy for them to get a divorce, especially the priests. They were, some of them married 10 times. And so they, again, asked Jesus, well, what do you say about divorce? Moses said it was okay. He said, well, Moses did it because of the hardness of your heart. And Jesus says it wasn't so from the beginning. Jesus always goes back to the beginning. when there was innocence, when there was no sin. And again, we were not created to die. And Jesus goes back to that first creation, that first instance of when man and woman were innocent and there was no sin. He's not letting go of that. And thank God.
So they were married for the whole length of their life?
Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm trying to think if Adam got married again. But I think, yeah. I don't know how long Eve lived, but Adam lived over 900 years. And that's...
Well, I heard some preacher said that marriage wasn't because he didn't have a mother-in-law.
Yeah, that's right. I never thought of that. Yeah.
We discussed this last week. We wondered what the first argument was between man and woman. And we come up with the conclusion that this thing really makes me look bad.
God gave us the desire for sex and the enjoyment of it, so there's nothing wrong with it, as long as it's within the parameters of marriage. Amen.
Just a little woman as well, you had five husbands, and the one you would, you know, you're married to or something. Huh?
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, I tell you what, I'm going to read some of this. I didn't make copies of this, and even some of the stuff I didn't make copies of. We have here the first institution of marriage, and we see it several particulars worthy of our most serious regard. God pronounces the state of celibacy to be a bad state, or, if the reader please, not a good one. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And exactly. That's where he's going.
I've heard an explanation of why they're supposed to be celibate, so they can devote themselves fully to it.
Exactly. And, you know, I think... And obviously, if there's something that I feel like a parent I didn't do is impress upon my children to go back to Genesis chapter 1 or Genesis chapter 2 and really think about that and discuss it with whoever you wanted to marry. Because the importance of the institution of marriage and cleaving to your wife and leaving everything else is so important. And just having a deep discussion on that and coming to well, let me read some of this. Okay, this is God's judgment. Okay, the Pope, the priest, and all of that he brings out here, and all of these doctors and all of that have given a different judgment, but on such a subject they are worthy of no attention. Thank you very much. They aren't. The word of God abideth forever. God made the woman for the man, and thus he has shown us that every son of Adam should be united to a daughter of Eve to the end of the world. God made the woman out of the man to intimate that the closest union and of the most affectionate attachment should subsist in the matrimonial connection. And I think that's missing today. It's not the most intimate and closest and most affectionate attachment today. I think there's too many distractions men and women have today, and especially young people. I don't want to, you know, any soapbox, but I think that women and men look for the economy. Come on, Miss Lou. The economy of the economical concerns, especially in our country, where the government discourages a girl, a man, and a woman. Put perfume on this morning. I smelled good and everything. So I just so warm.
A bathroom call.
Oh, well, okay. All right. But there's not much emphasis put on a man and a woman cleaving to each other. Okay. To intimate and the affectionate attachment should subsist in the matrimonial connection, so that the man should ever consider and treat the woman as a part of himself. And I think there's too much, well, you got your career, I got my career, I got my friends, you got your friends, I got my circles, you got your circles. And, all right, Mark, come on in, man. We both got our circles, and there's not this cleaving together. Of whatever, it's not separate. You're one, and you're to cleave together. And if there's a discussion and a problem with that, then there needs to be a resolution. It needs to be resolved before you get married. Simple as that. And like our government discourages marriages, as you know, my wife said over and over again, she reads the births in the newspaper, and none of them are married. The children their parents aren't married.
Also, young people go into the marriage with this as an idea. If it doesn't work out, we'll just divorce.
Right.
It's called, they have a name for it, the start of marriage.
Start a marriage? Right. Exactly. Divorces are too equal. Louisiana came up with this. You can get a marriage one of two ways. You can get one that you go to counseling first, and if you want to get a divorce, you got to go to counseling for a year, or you can just get the other one, where if you don't get along, 6 months, you're divorced. And somebody asked me to, would you perform a wedding for her friend? I said, yeah, I'll do it. And so I said, so the guy came over, and I said, well, I want to talk to you and your wife, you-to-be. And I said, I want to do a covenant marriage with y'all. And that means that if y'all have any problems in your marriage, you covenant to go to counseling for a year before you get divorced, if you ended up. And so come to find out, they didn't want to do that. Well, they've got married, but it wasn't me doing it. As far as I know. And I think it's a good idea. It's not a start of marriage. And there's that lack of seriousness and really getting down to are you willing to go with me this way? And you have to have that in-depth discussion and agreement, because you're one flesh. Now, I think one thing that helped Carol and I was we were married about a month and a half, and we were living in Seattle, Washington. And so we didn't have a mother-in-law or family or anybody. Not that my mother-in-law was bad. But I think it helped us. We were just, you know, each other in a foreign country. We was in Seattle, Washington. That's foreign from this place. And it says here, ma'am,
where I don't see today,
mm-hmm.
where people, they're just getting together and going and living with each other.
Right.
It's like they're putting themselves into a marriage with each other, but not legally. They're living together.
And there's no
bond. And that's not bond.
They're not bonded.
I mean, it's wrong. And then you're raising children like that, the way you're living together. Everything you see on television, and the children are coming up, and they're seeing what's happening, and they know it.
Exactly. Stan?
When I was working in, New Orleans, but mattering, I guess, when you go down Clearview, they had one of those park benches by the intersection with the advertisements on it, and it was an advertisement for this lady lawyer that was doing divorces. I don't remember how it was phrased, but I thought it was so tacky, like it was just promoting, like, come and see them and get a divorce.
Yeah, the quickie and convenient ways. Right. Let me just read this a little bit more. Okay. I'm looking for a period. But I won't find one. All right. But so should a man deal with his wife? And on the other hand, the woman should consider that the man was not made for her. That's a big problem today. That the man was not made for her, but that she was made for the man and derived under God her being from him. Therefore, the wife should see that she reverence her husband. Now, you know, people laugh at that today. And there's a lack of reverence for the husband, and there's a lack of nourishing and supporting the wife. They make fun of it now, of reverencing. I know I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, you know, and my wife will say amen to that. She'll probably jump up and say amen. But there has to be a respect for the husband, because God says you got to respect him and have reverence for him. But that's why I'm saying this has to be discussed before you get married, before you have kids.
What's that one where it says the wife should submit to her husband, and all the men love that verse, including me at one time. And then, but then the men skip the beginning of that where it says, what does it say? We're to love her as Christ loved the church, and if we're not doing that part, then she doesn't need to submit to us.
Well, no, but there needs to be. God's really frowns on divorce, but ain't nothing wrong with separation, you know. This is why you have these discussions before. Yeah, after all the hormones and everything are done away with, and before you get down to not just the finances, we're one, and my responsibility is to take care of you and nurture you and everything else, and you're to have respect or reverence for me, in that God has made me to be the head of the home, and I'm going to put it like this: the spiritual head, mm-hmm. not the woman, not the wife isn't spiritual, but there's a stamp on the man, and a connection that God gives the man to, and he speaks to the man a different way he talks to a woman. I guess that's the best way. A man is more, and I'm just, I'm talking about myself. It seems to me that the man is more interested in the well-being of the family in the community, whereas the wife is the mother, and she's more concerned about the family. She's more concerned about the well-being of the family, the children, the home, whereas the man is more concerned with taking care of the home on the physical aspect, but also providing for that home. And spiritually, exactly.
I know I'm weak, and I knew that I needed a godly man that I would be able to follow. If I didn't turn the hand to one I wanted prior to being in church every Sunday, I would. So I knew I had to find a godly man to help lead me in that direction.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
And it says, like, the kids, the wife, the husband, and then we answer to Christ, it says.
Right. And that, yeah, the man is the head of the woman, and Christ is the head of the church and the man. Exactly. And all of this is to be done before. Like you said, Terry, this is one of my prerequisites, you know. I need this guy, he's got to be doing this. I don't want anything to do with him. I know one fella, I heard this one guy, he said, I made a list. I wrote it down. What I want my wife to be, and he says I didn't settle for anything else. And he said she had to be a beauty queen. She had to win a beauty contest. I mean, he had everything, and that's who he married. Yeah, and there was some spirituality in there too. He had to be a Christian and all that, but he.
Maybe because they love, like he loves her and she loves him, that they see each other as handsomely beautiful. Possibly, maybe the good Lord is in there somewhere.
Amen. Yes, he was. He made that.
I know I was brought up with all these rules, just like the garden. But look at my age compared to the rest. I mean, as the each generation came on down.
Right.
I mean, it's changed. And today, to me, it's lowest M.
Yeah, I see.
I have never seen it like this in my life, where people are just, and what hurts most is when the television comes on and it talks about the people just getting together and living. There's no marriage at all. It's
right.
Just living with each other. And it's trash. It's really trash.
Amen. And Jesus is going to say it wasn't that way from the beginning. It's not the way I set y'all up. And in every culture around the world, anthropologists and some other bigologists say that the most successful culture or civilization is a monogamous marriage that's encouraged in that culture. So that's what Jesus said.
You were talking about the devil imitating, doing everything backwards that God did.
Right.
It's the same with now the kids run the home, the mom, then the dad, on the lowest, and then Christ is last.
Yeah. A lot too many kids running. Yeah, that's right.
He's really mostly out of the picture.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I don't think that people are wanting Christ to
last. Amen.
We can't say that we don't have television. That God should know. So we kind of don't have any excuses.
No.
There's
no excuse.
And I brought Stanley on there. He's an older man. I mean, you know, he speaks the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, but I don't see where, when you compare Stanley with the humbug with the young man, Joel Osteen, who's got nothing but fans and shenanigans and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean,
amen. And the fruits in the message and what it produces. Okay, we're going to have to close. So I know this, you know, I knew this was going to be a topic that, that you know, we have, that's why I feel as strong to discuss it and to warn or understand God ain't letting up one bit. You know, he says it wasn't that way from the beginning. You guys can make a mess out of it if you want, but when judgment days comes, this is it. But boy, thank God for his grace and his mercy and dying on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven for our transgressions and deviations from his word. Okay, let's have a word of prayer and any prayer requests real quick. Let's pray for the service to follow and we'll go. Father, we just thank you for our discussion. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And I pray that that we would look to your word and encourage others to go to your word and live knowing that the best life that we could ever live is according to your word in the basic foundation of a marriage and a relationship with a man and woman. And Father, I know we've gone so much farther from it, and so we just ask God that we would be able to encourage others and also, as best we can, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to live according to your word. And I pray for the services to follow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.